16 and verse 33. This was a message I actually had prepared weeks ago. The Lord told me to hold off. Well, I got the green light for preaching. Hallelujah. Would be a blessing. John 16 and verse 33 is where we're going to start. But before we start, I want to mention this, and I would remind people this. Remember that God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
That's right.
And they're not your thoughts. Now, we should make our thoughts God's thoughts. That's it. And the Bible says God's ways are not your ways. And so the important thing is not to get tripped up by that and to get confused by that or argue against that. The goal is just do the Word of God, right? And just find out what the Word says and then be a doer of that Word. Well, this is one of those messages where it can cause the mind to short-circuit a little bit.
Sure.
What the Word's requiring of you can cause the mind to short-circuit because it goes against everything that is programmed into us, everything our natural flesh, the way our flesh wants to go. And so everything else is going to be warring against what the Bible tells us to do. But here's the thing. When you do the Word, that's when the power's activated.
Amen.
The power's activated in the doing of the Word. It's not the hearing of the Word only. The Bible says in the book of James, be ye not hearers of the Word only, but be doers of the Word. For this man, what man? The man that does the Word will be blessed in all his deeds. And so it's not just hearing the Word. And so our goal is to renew our minds to what the Word says and to be a doer of the Word, even if it makes our mind short-circuit. Even if it trips us up a little bit and causes us to think, whoa, that's a lot, that's backwards. That really put my flesh under. Let's take a look here. It says in John 16:33, it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, everybody say in me, you might have peace. Glory to God. Peace is found in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The world's looking for peace in other places, aren't they?
Yeah.
The perfect peace is in him. Amen. He says, in the world, now that's where we are, isn't it?
Yes.
We're in this world. In the world you shall, not you might, not maybe, not there's a good chance, though you will have tribulation. Well, gee, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making us feel so good that in the world we're going to have trials and tests. But it's true. And I'm thankful that he's truthful with me.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that he doesn't try to candy coat it. Oh, everything's just going to be just wonderful and I'm going to use your faith. No, it's not. That's not true. That's wrong. In the world, you will have tribulation, trials, tests. And we can all testify that that's the truth.
Right.
That happens. Now, they can come in various forms. Different types of tests. People going through different things. If you're not going through one right now, just stay put. You will. You will, praise God. But notice what he says. In the world you have tests and trials, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying, you're going to have tests and trials, but have a good attitude about it. A cheerful attitude about tests and trials. Well, that's backwards. Because tests and trials, when they usually show up and come, the fleshly response is to complain.
Sure.
The fleshly response is to get down. The fleshly response is to grumble.
Yeah.
The fleshly response is to magnify the mountain, to talk about the mountain, to get on the phone and tell everybody about your mountain, and to complain about your mountain, and to be grumpy, and to be annoyed, and to be short with people because of the mountain. Right? That's what we do, right? That's the natural fleshly way of doing things. But Jesus said, be of good cheer in these tests and trials. And he tells you why. He says, I've overcome the world, the very world that can throw tests and trials. And you might say, well, good for you, Jesus. You're not here anymore, but he is. He's in you.
Yeah,
that's right.
The greater
that's
one
good.
Lives on the inside of you.
Yeah.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're his. You have access to everything he has access to. If he's overcome the world, you have the opportunity to overcome the world. Doesn't 1 John 5 verse 4 say this? But whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, your faith. Faith and cheer go together. Because when you're in faith, you're cheerful. When you're in faith, you're hopeful. When you're in faith, you're excited. When you're in faith, you're happy. And faith is what causes it to overcome. You can't separate cheerfulness and joyfulness from faith. Because faith is never discouraged. Faith is never down. Faith is never short. Faith is, short. I'm talking about, that's why I thought you were a faith guy. You're short. You told me faith wasn't short. You lied to me. I mean, short with people. Faith is not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful, right?
Right.
Faith always believes the best, believes turn around, those are things that are associated with cheerfulness, joyfulness. Well, the cheerfulness, the joyfulness, or the faith is what's going to get you through. So he says, be of good cheer. He says, when you go through tests and trials, you ought to look a certain way.
Right.
Yeah. He said, when you go through tests and trials, you ought to look and act and talk and sound a certain way.
That's right.
Well, now we're going to go to another verse.
That's
going to show you in James chapter 1 and verse 2. Again, now I'm not, again, I'm not saying it's not backwards to your mind. It's not backwards to your flesh. But the job is to renew our minds to the Word. I'll tell you what. When I first heard the tithing and the giving message, and I keep seeing the word that the more generous I am, the more harvest, that's backwards to my mind. That's backwards to my flesh, and it tests my mind. And it tests my flesh. Well, my job isn't to give into my mind and my flesh. My job is to give into the Word.
Amen.
The love walk message
is
one that can be crazy to your mind. I mean, the Bible tells you to love your enemies. Pray for the ones that persecute you. Do good unto those people that's hard on the flesh. That's hard on the mind, but the blessing comes when you just do the Word.
Amen.
This is one of those messages. But remember, his thoughts aren't your thoughts. His ways aren't your ways. And remember this, that in tests and trials and tribulations, how you respond makes all the difference in the world. It does. It makes all the difference in the world. A lot of times we magnify the test. The test isn't the problem. The test is just a revealer of what you know and don't know.
Yeah.
How do I know? Because I was the one complaining about the tests in school. Yet there were people that I was trying to copy off of that were there every day doing the work. They weren't complaining about the test.
Right.
Why? The test wasn't the problem.
Right.
The test was a revealer of what you know and don't know.
That's good.
Let me just uncover something the devil tries to do to people. The Bible says that no test or trial has overtaken you except that which is common to man. And the devil will make it, he'll blow that mountain up so big that you're going through it, and you're the only one that knows what you're going through, and you're the only one facing this, and you're going through the hardest thing ever. No, what you're going through is just common.
Yeah.
And that's not putting you down or being compassionate. I'm just telling you what the Word says.
Yeah.
Because the devil will try to blow that thing up so big to get you in fear about that thing.
Right.
You need to start looking at your thing and think, it's just common. It's commoner. That's just a common thing.
Yeah.
That's a common thing. That's normal.
Yeah.
There's nothing big and bad about this.
Yeah.
That puts the devil in his place.
Good word.
And how you respond in tests and trials makes all the difference in the world. You remember the disciples on the boat with Jesus holding the beater? They had the greatest storm they ever faced as a professional fisherman. The Bible says it was of hurricane proportions. They thought they were dying, didn't they?
Yeah.
Their response was, Lord, save us, we're dead. And Jesus said, where's your faith?
Yeah.
They're lucky he was on that boat that day. Where's your faith? The children of Israel were supposed to walk into a promised land, and they encountered tests and trials. They encountered people that already had, they encountered giants in the land. And they responded wrong. They responded with, we can't have this, it's hard. And they didn't have it, did they? They didn't get it. They responded wrong. But Joshua and Caleb saw the same tests and trials. How is it the same people that have been offered the same promises can have the same tests and trials come against them, and one person can get it and one person can't? All now you respond.
Yeah, that's right.
They responded wrong. Caleb and Joshua's response was, we got this.
Yeah.
We're well able to overcome this.
Yeah.
Responded.
Yeah.
So we need to respond right. Well, I'm going to tell you how to respond right. Today the Bible's going to tell you how to respond
Praise
in
God.
Tests and trials. And if you want to be a doer of the Word, don't argue with it.
No.
Don't argue with it, because your mind's going to tell you, that boy don't understand what I'm going through.
Oh,
I didn't write it. I just read it.
Amen.
I didn't write it. I'm just reporting it.
Yeah.
You right? You know what
I
mean? Amen. Anyways. James 1 verse 2 says this. My brethren, count it all misery.
No.
Count it all sadness.
No.
Count it all grumbling.
No.
Count it all what?
Joy.
When $1 million comes in, when all your bills are paid, when all the health reports look good, when your kids are serving God, when everything's going hunky dory in your life, count it all joy.
I don't think so.
That's easy to count. When all the money's in the bank and all the bills are paid, and the kids are serving God and everything's going wonderful, the businesses are going great, it's easy to be the praiser.
Sure.
It takes no faith to be the praiser then. What takes faith, and remember this, Hebrews 11, 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
I remember a few years ago, we were in our old house. And I knew things were coming up the bend that we were going to have to believe about this big thing. And I was almost getting into a place of being discouraged that I had to believe. Being discouraged that I had to use my faith for something. Because the pressure of a test and trial. Now, you got to learn to become comfortable under pressure.
Sure.
Because he said, "Don't prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies." He expects you to sit down and dine with your enemies all around you. He expects you to enjoy life with pressure.
Sure.
And if you can't get to the point where you can be comfortable, maybe you don't like it, you don't have to be excited about it, or you can't thrive under pressure, it's going to be hard for you to have very much for God. Because the further you go with God, the more pressure the devil's going to put on you. So you have to keep God first. And I knew there were some things coming up, and man, I was almost being in a place of being discouraged. That, I'm not feeling my faith for this. It's not just going to come easy. And that verse, Hebrews 11:6, of meditating on faith searchers, it like jumped off the page. It was almost like I was looking at it in 3D. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I said, "Lord, I can." And I'm a crier. Maybe you don't know that, but I'm a crier, man. I things of God and things with people and compassion for people and things with my kids. I mean, I can just look at my kid for just staring for 5 minutes. Get over the enjoyment and excitement that I have for them, you know, and things like that. The things of God really moved me. And I said, "Lord, I see it, I repent." And I said, this faith message that we preach, which is so vital. I said, I always take it from the angle that the number one angle that faith is how we receive. Faith is how we overcome. Faith is how we're victorious, which is true. That's not false.
Right.
I said, I see it. The most important reason that I want to be in faith is And I said, so if I have to use my faith for something, that's not a discouragement. That's not a bad thing. That's an opportunity to be pleasing to my Father.
Amen.
And if you're a lover of God, see, I know this for me growing up. Maybe I didn't have the closest relationship with my dad and wasn't the best thing, but I had this desire to make him happy. I had this desire to please him. I see it in my own kids. Maybe not so much Abby yet. She just does her own thing. Doesn't get ripped by anything. But Caleb, he has a desire to want to be pleasing to me. And I can see that in him. Why? He's a lover of his daddy.
Yeah.
He wants to be pleasing. He wants daddy to approve of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I want God to approve of me. I want God to be happy with me. I want God to be excited about me. Well, faith is one of those ways I can do it. So I don't get discouraged going through faith. And I saw that verse and said, wow, I see it. It's now test and trust. And Lord, I get to use my faith. I get to please you. It's all about renewing your mind with the word. Now, he says to count it joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, that's a little blind in the King James. That just means various tests and trials. Tests and trials can come in all forms, right? I mean, they can come in, forms of financial tests and trials, forms of physical healing tests and trials, forms of addictions and different things you have to put your body under. Those are tests and trials. Forms of tests and trials with your children, relationship problems, job problems. I mean, fill in the blank for whatever tests and trials can be. But he says, my brethren, count it as joyful when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, the awesome thing I like to point out is because some trials are self-inflicted, some trials are not. But even the self-inflicted ones, you can count them joy. Because even the self-inflicted ones, all you got to do is say, "Father, forgive me," and he forgives you.
Yeah,
now you're not. God. Now he doesn't see you in a trial of self-infliction. He just sees you in a trial because he promised you, I'll forgive you.
Yeah.
So he says, count on joy when you fall. Who did the falling? You did the falling.
Yeah.
You're the one that fell. And sometimes we fall on our own accord. Sometimes we fall to the enemy's snare. Sometimes we fall out of ignorance. Sometimes we fall out of disobedience. Sometimes we fall because we're doing things right.
Sure.
But the Bible says, count it all joy.
Yeah.
Count it all joy. Yeah. What that word means in the Hebrew, in the Greek, it means that, listen to this. This is how you're supposed to be when tests and trials come your way. Cheerfulness, calm, delight and gladness. That's your demeanor. That's what the word says. If you want to be in the perfect will of God, that's your response when hell shows up at your front door.
Amen.
Not, "Oh my God." Not, "Oh, I hate this. Oh, you're so terrible." The Eeyore spirit comes on you. Right?
Yeah.
You tell everybody about the mountain coming on you. To magnify the mountain. No. He says, in time of time to try, to be cheerful. Be calm. Be glad. Now, you might say, how on earth am I supposed to be glad about the trial I'm going through? Well, I'm going to help you with that today and show you what the word says to make it so you can be.
Praise God.
You know, if you have a physical problem, I'm not telling you to be excited about the physical problem. If you have a financial test or trial, I'm not telling you to be excited about your problem. Be excited about your children doing the wrong things. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
But I'm going to explain to you what I am saying to get you to the place where you can count it joy. Because when you start counting the joy, like, now see, that's backwards. What our mind and our flesh wants to do in the present trial. But when when you do that, you activate the power of the word. And you become blessed from that test and trial. Count it all joy. Listen to what the Message Bible says. You're going to like this one. Consider it a sheer gift. Oh. I had, we were leading the youth group. They knew it was my birthday. Not, you know, not advertising anything like that. Just talking very low maintenance, you know. We don't expect anything, but we're grateful for everything that we get. And these kids just came together on their own accord. You knew nothing about it. And they bought these Cabela's gift cards. And I can't believe the group of kids and age they were, the money that they were on to put together for a gift card to Cabela's. It was awesome. I was able to get this gun that I wanted. That gun meant a lot to me coming from those kids. Because, you know, a lot of them don't have jobs. A lot of them find kids in their savings or work something extra for it. And it was just a blessing. And I know my response to how I was when I got it, it was a sheer gift.
Yeah.
Think about a sheer gift that you've gotten. And your response to that is, wow, excitement.
Sure.
You're glad about that. You're happy about that. You're cheerful about that.
Yeah.
The way I receive that gift is the way God expects me to go through tests and trials. When it looks like I can't pay my bills, that's how God wants me to be. When something physical shows up and the symptoms are real, that's how God wants me to be.
Yeah,
for everything. You say, God's a backwards God. Well, he's also the God that said, be anxious for nothing. I'll tell you what, that trips my mind up as a parent. Anxious for nothing. That's what the Word says. Now, he wouldn't tell you something that you can't have. That would be unjust.
Sure.
But in God's, the way God says, renew your mind to the point of being anxious or worried for absolutely nothing, parents included with kids. And I know we're programmed. As parents, we're programmed as people, and you have responsibility to be a warrior.
Yeah.
There's some people, some Christians that ought to have the heavyweight championship belt around their waist, the big old W, just champion warriors.
Yeah.
And they almost feel like they're justified, like if I'm not worrying, I'm not a good parent. Or if I'm not worried, I'm not caring. No. Anything worried, the Bible says, which of you can add one cubit or one measure to their stature by taking a thought or by worrying? What Jesus is saying is worrying never does anybody any good.
Right.
Even though we're programmed to be that way, it's a natural thing, it doesn't do anybody any good. The thing you want to do is get your faith on that situation as soon as possible.
Yeah.
It's not good to worry about your kids, it's good to put your faith towards your kids.
Yeah.
Worrying them is worrying about that is not helping them.
That's right.
It's not helping them.
Yeah.
Jesus said, don't do it. Be anxious for nothing. How that would be.
Good.
So our God doesn't do things the way our natural mind is programmed, the way the flesh is programmed. And let me tell you something, the majority of the world does not go to God's way. We know that. And so you're going to spend a whole lot of time being pulled away from the things of God. You need to get your mind into this. Acts 16 and verse 19. Acts 16 and verse 19. See, when you count it joy, and remember what we said. You ever seen those commercials where they're talking about publishers carrying out? And they show somebody showing up in the house with a balloon and a check. And they open the door and say, hey, well, there's $1 million. And you see joy, right? I mean,
sure.
Joy looks like something, doesn't
that's
it?
That's right, yeah.
People that are reserved start jumping up and down, start doing dances that you've never seen before, start hollering and shouting. It looks like something, doesn't it?
Yes.
Joy isn't just an emotion that's a reserved emotion. You can tell when somebody's in joy. Glory to
God.
Acts 16, verse 19. Now, let me give you a little bit of play here. A backdrop of what's going on here. Paul had gotten a vision from God to go to Macedonia. So he obeyed and went to Macedonia. When he got there was this girl that was troubling them. Well, she was a soothsayer. She had wrong spirits on her. And then she had masters who were controlling her. And she would tell people's fortunes by the spirit of the devil and the spirit of God. And it would cause her master to make much money. Well, she was bugging Paul in the ministry. Finally, the Holy Ghost had cast that thing out of her. And so he did. He said, in the name of Jesus, you come out. The spirit left her, and she wasn't able to do that anymore. Be careful with that stuff, people. People say, be careful with those TV shows.
Yeah.
That guys of bringing people in and speaking to the dead. Those are not of God. Just so you know, and I'm saying people can't do that stuff. No, people can do that stuff under the wrong spirit.
It never comes
to Jesus.
That's right.
It's always something supernatural that the devil manifests to get you pulled away from the things of God.
Yeah.
The devil can wow. He can create a magic show. He can do things.
Yeah.
We see it in here. She was telling fortunes. Who cares if the devil knows your fortune? God knows your fortune. God knows your future. You don't need to sit there and someone have to put some cards on a table, read your palm, get in the paper and look at your horoscope to find out the future. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you knows everything. And he'll never lead you astray. And we see that here. The devil has power. I don't know why I said all that. I didn't say that last night. I don't know if someone's dabbling in that in here on live stream. That ain't of God. But it works and it's true, and they told me everything. So what?
Yeah.
So what that the devil knows a little bit? It's always to get you off and away from God.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
Yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
That was for. So he cast the devil out of her. And she can't do that anymore. The spirit's gone. She doesn't have that gift anymore. It really wasn't a gift at all. And that made her masters mad. Because now he lost the money. And that's what we're picking up in verse 19. It says, and when her master saw that their hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Now remember, they're only here because God told them to go there. And they brought them to the magistrate. Yeah, I'll say that. Do you think this caught God by surprise?
No.
Do you think when God told you to do something and you did and all hell broke loose in your life, do you think that caught him by surprise?
No.
When God tells you to do something, it's because he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have more, and the devil wants to keep it from you, so he stirs up a dust storm. God's not caught off guard. My goodness. He knew. But there's a devil. There's a devil. I love what Paul said. He said, we tried to come unto you. We're tempted to come unto you, but we were hindered. He didn't say we were stopped. We were hindered. The devil tries to hinder. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9 says, a great door of affection and a great door of opportunity is opened unto me. And at the door there are many adversaries. What's a door of opportunity? A new door of increase. A new door of glory. A new door of blessing in your life. And at that door of blessing, it's not going to go unchallenged. It's not going to go untested.
That's right.
You think the devil's just going to lay down for you? No, he's not. Praise God. It says, and they brought him to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now look at verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. There they are, in the minority again. People doing the word of God in the minority. And the magistrates rent or tore off their clothes. That's fun. And commanded to beat them, verse 23. And when they had laid many, everybody say many, many stripes upon them. Remember, they're naked. It hurts a little more.
Yeah.
When you ain't got nothing to block the blows of being whipped. He says, they made many strikes upon them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. I tell this story. There's a gentleman I met, and he pastored in Alaska. I met him in California. And he took a trip to Rome, and he visited the Mamertine prison where it's thought to be that Paul spent a lot of time in prison. He said he wouldn't believe how small, how dark, damp, dungy this thing is. And in fact, there's a hole in the middle of the cells where the sewage system would run in Rome. And when it would rain, all the sewage would come up into that cell. I mean, like knee-deep stuff, waiting around and people do. Paul had to be in there. Now, this is what I want you to see is Paul is the same guy, okay? This is the same guy who's not told to go to Macedonia, goes there, gets beat, gets thrown in prison, in a terrible prison. That was the reform we have today in prisons. In old time prisons, where there's no reform, where prisoners are just, you know, not treated very well. This is the same guy that in Philippians wrote, rejoice in the Lord always.
Yes.
And then he said, I gotta remind you, and again I say rejoice.
Yeah, amen.
Now he says rejoice, joy, rejoice in the Lord. How many times?
Always.
That means under any circumstance, when the bills are paid, when the bills aren't paid. When the health is there, when the health isn't there. When the kids are doing what they're supposed to do, when they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Always rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
So when they laid strikes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging them to keep them safely, verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have ever obeyed God that caused you to get beaten to a bloody pulp, clothes ripped off in public, thrown into a dark, dungy prison, having done nothing wrong? How many of you have ever been through that? I'm just trying to put some things in perspective here.
Sure.
Try to help you. And that's not belittling or having not compassion for what you're going through. I get it, we're going through things, but you have to help. You have an answer. And so here's the situation. Sometimes the Bible leaves out the drama. We need to create that drama in our minds and think about what would that really have been like to see God tell you go somewhere. I'll tell you, most people would turn their back on God. They would have. Lord, you told me to come here. That's the conversation they would have been having.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We've all done it.
Yeah, sure.
Question him as if he's our problem. He's not.
That's right.
They would have been in prison. The conversation most Christians would have been, you told me to come here and this is what I get? I pay my tithes. And I can't pay my bills now? People start questioning God and you're just running and running and running and creating and creating. Creating and creating the wrong thing.
Yeah,
run in your mouth.
Right, yeah.
Lord, I go to church every week. I serve in the church.
Yeah, come on. Good word.
That's what most people would have done. But
yeah.
That's not what the word says to do in Christ's job. That's what John the Baptist did when he got thrown in prison. Jesus said, that was a long way to respond, John.
Sure.
Long way to respond. Yeah. So they're in prison. Same guy that says, rejoice in the Lord always. So if there's any time for Paul to be put to the test, if he's going to be a doer of that word or not, be a doer of that, rejoice in the Lord always. This is the time.
Amen.
Now we're
going
to see if Paul's a man of his word.
Yeah.
We're going to see what's Paul doing in prison. Well, verse 25. And at midnight. Don't let me forget to tell you about the packed lobby. The old man handful last night. And what I said, not knowing, the lobby was packed.
Praise God.
It was good. It was all God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas grumbled and complained and argued and cursed God. Told everybody in the prison, don't follow this God that we're following. It gets you put in prison. It gets tested and trials. No, no, no. At midnight, Paul and Silas, first of all, what they do?
Pray.
Now, I am amazed. I think I've done this example before, but I'm here hearing faithfully by hearing this. People haven't been here. Go with me to James chapter 5 real quick. We'll hold our place here. Because the first thing he did when they were in a problem was what?
Pray.
I know. That seems so profound. That people would actually go through something and then pray about it. You would be surprised at how profound it is. Yeah. And you know your own life. What do you immediately do when a test of trial comes? Are you looking outward? Are you seeking everybody else's advice and help? Or are you going to him?
Yeah.
At midnight, Paul looked to God. Now, James chapter 5 and verse 13 says this. Is any among you afflicted? There it is. Tests or trials. Look what he says in response. If any among you is afflicted, let the pastor pray.
No.
Let the prayer chain do it for me. Let grandma, who's in the faith, that she can pray heaven down.
No,
the Bible says when you're going through a test of trial, guess whose job it is to pray? It's your job.
Amen.
I'm amazed at times. People that go through the same thing over, and it doesn't change, over and over again. And they'll come to me, and I'll say, did you ask God why this isn't changing? I thought it'd be bad. I didn't know. Hello? The disciples couldn't cast the devil out of the person. And they didn't know why. It didn't work. They didn't walk around saying, I just can't figure that out. I wonder why that didn't work. No, it just doesn't work. You know what they did? Ask. Ask Jesus. They said, why couldn't we do this?
Right.
If you're struggling over and over with things, it's not working, and you're doing all that you know to do, and it's not changing. I know there's a patient side of faith. I'm talking prolonged, just keeps going, and nothing's changing. It ought to change eventually.
Yeah.
It ought to change eventually.
Amen.
If things aren't changing for me eventually, I check up. I ask God, and he'll either tell me, you're just still impatient, keep on keeping on, and then I keep on keeping on, or he'll tell me, make this adjustment. Make that adjustment.
Yeah.
People don't ask God.
Yeah, sure.
And the disciples, when they came up against a hard thing they didn't know, they asked God. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Now look at what he says next. He says, is any among you merry? Let him sing songs. Now I think James is kind of a sarcastic guy like I am. And this is a ridiculous thing for him to say. It'd be like if somebody came into service today and handed me a check for $1,000. I guarantee you that puts a smile on my face, as it would put a smile on your face.
Yeah.
I guarantee you'd be happy. I guarantee you'd be joyful. I guarantee you might even sing a happy song. It's as ridiculous as someone coming in, handing me a $100 check and me saying, Vinny, celebrate for me. Vinny, sing my praise song. As ridiculous as that is, it's as ridiculous as when you're going through a test or trial and looking for somebody else to get you out.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's stupid to think that somebody else is going to do your rejoicing for you when you get something good.
Yeah.
It's as stupid to think that somebody else is going to pray for you and should be the main source of your seeking God for you. That's backwards.
Yeah, that's
now,
good.
The Word offers us an opportunity to join our faith together,
yeah,
and I can pray with you. But that's why we say on the blue card, make sure you're praying for it first.
Yeah.
I can't have faith for you in your situation until you can have faith for
me.
Just like you can't have faith for my situations, like I can have faith.
That's right.
Now we can all join up together and really tackle this thing and put more faith on it.
Sure.
But if any among you is afflicted, let him pray. Now let's go back to Acts 16. The first thing Paul did was pray. But then there's an and in that verse, Acts 16:25. Come on. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and, everybody say
and,
saying praises unto God. What were they doing?
Singing.
No. And the prisoners heard them. They didn't care. I don't know what your, most normal people that, you know, they got working at night. Most people are sleeping at midnight. Most people. Now, I'm not anybody. I understand. Actually, most of the time, I'm not. But most of the time, generally speaking, the human population is asleep at midnight. They didn't care that the other prisoners would have been asleep. They didn't care that maybe the prison guards wouldn't allow us anything. They lifted their voice and started singing and rejoicing to God.
Amen.
Rejoicing to God so much so that the prisoners heard them. Hallelujah. The prisoners heard them. Hallelujah. I love that. They weren't ashamed. They weren't shy. They weren't shy to praise, were they?
No.
Hello, people.
No.
They weren't shy to praise, were they? See what I mean? It's so hard to get people to talk.
Sure.
And the whole victory's in here, you know.
Amen.
It's so hard to get people to say anything.
Yes.
It's so hard to get people to rejoice. It's so hard to get people to praise. And the power's here. Let me show you something that's absolutely profound and amazing. Now, this was at midnight. Do you think that God has this designated time of midnight being the time he shells out his power?
Come
that
on.
You have to wait till midnight. It just, when it's midnight, that's when it happens.
Come on.
So the power is always available, isn't
that's
it?
Right.
Brother Hagin was in a hospital room one time. And the Holy Ghost said this to him. He said, there's enough power in every hospital room, in every hospital around the world, to raise up every sick person off that bed of sickness. The thing is, tapping into the power.
Yes.
See, we got to get, let me help you people. You got to get off the religious mindset that God's withholding something from you.
Yeah.
That God's up in heaven keeping it back and just waiting for you to scrape and claw. God's a God of yes. For all the promises of God, the Bible says, are yes and amen. He's waiting for you to tap into that power.
Yeah.
He's waiting for you to cooperate with that power.
Amen.
Because the Bible says in the next verse, in verse 26, and suddenly, that was at midnight they were doing this, there was a great earthquake. What did that earthquake do? So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now this is what my point I want to bring across to you. We know it's ridiculous to say God's got a designated time of midnight. God's got a designated time of whenever he will happen to the power.
That's right.
Notice the earthquake that freed God's man did not come until they did something first.
Right. Amen.
When they began to open their mouth
right.
and praise God, that brought the power down to that place.
Yes.
All right, we got to do is the word. The Bible says, O thou Lord, you inhabit or you dwell in the praises of your people. Why does Pastor Mike harp on raise your hands, praise him out loud? Because if he'll do that, the presence of God will be down in this place.
Amen.
Why? Because he told us, I will dwell where you praise. I will put my establishment. I will live where you are. Something about praise and worshiping God caused him to manifest.
Amen.
It caused him to manifest here. It wasn't about midnight. It was at midnight they started doing something. My question would be, why did he at 10. Maybe he wasn't in a cell yet. Maybe Paul was giving himself a talking to. We don't know. But we know at midnight he finally opened his mouth and then caused God to react.
Amen.
Caused God to react.
Sure.
God wasn't holding back. The power was always available.
That's right.
See, there's a God-word side, there's a man-word side. There's a God-word side, there's a man-word side.
Right.
And everybody always just wants to leave it on the God-word side and nothing gets done because nobody does anything and the man-word side is left undone.
Yeah, that's good, Pastor.
Suddenly there was an earthquake and things opened up. The walls of Jericho did not fall until they shouted. God said, go around the city one time, 6 days. On the seventh day, go around, just keep circling. Seven times. Shout as loud as you can. Put the walls up.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me tell you something, people. You want to be a faith giant? Anybody can shout when the walls are down.
That's right.
Anybody can praise when the bills are paid. Anybody can be excited when the symptoms are gone in your body. Anybody can do that. That don't take anything special.
Right.
But when hell's staring you in the face and you can rejoice,
yeah.
When the bills are up to the ceiling, you have no natural way of even thinking about paying all those things, and you can keep a smile on your face and praise God, that's when the power gets activated.
Amen. Yep.
They had no natural earthly reason to be praising God in this situation.
That's right.
The children of Israel had no earthly reason to shout at those walls. They didn't actually have the ability to take those walls down. That's how God said to take them down. But then you put yourself there. That so okay. Now we need to wrap this thing up. See, so now we know what the Bible says about rejoicing, counting it joy, what it looks like. See, some of your problems are it's the praise cure. You're just not praising God. You're not worshiping. His presence isn't around. I'm talking about the manifest. He's always on the inside. I'm talking about that manifested presence that comes upon the situation that causes things to move in the natural.
Sure.
That's what I'm talking about. You always carry that inward presence with you.
Yes.
Praise God. I'm talking about the kind that the glory comes in, the glory flies,
yeah.
The manifest of prayer, where you can feel that kind of stuff. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Breaks chains off people, opens up doors.
Amen.
And you know, this is our practice, Rob, for life. This is the grocery store. What do I mean? This is where you pick up what you need for life.
Yeah.
But when you walk out of those doors, is when you make it.
Yeah.
When you walk out of those doors, is when you put together everything that you got in the grocery store. The grocery store is just a small part of getting what you need to go home and prepare everything. If I can't get you here with everybody else that's praising God to open your voice, I know you're not doing it by yourself. Because people get alone and the devil starts throwing. I mean, a lot of people talk to me. I feel weird talking to him. You got to get over that. Real fast. Real fast, you need to get over that. Because we see the power that brings down on people. Isn't it interesting? In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, it says, when the singers and trumpeters begin to lift their voice and praise God as one, it said, the glory then entered into the house.
Yes.
So much so that the ministers couldn't even stand to minister.
Yes.
They fell out under the power.
Yes.
After they praised, then the presence came in.
Yes. Glory.
Yes. So, he inhabits. Again, I don't know why. I just know this. The only thing I can think of is this, is it does something to me when my child loves on me.
Yes.
It does something to me. When my child loves on me and tells me he loves me, and calls up me in the morning with his pajamas on, says, Daddy, can we go upstairs and watch Disney? And we sit there, and he crawls up in my lap, just puts his arm around me, and he's still sleeping, he lays there, and he'll look up at me and just say, Dad, I love you. It's good. I'm excited to be here, Dad. And he's the kind of stuff Caleb says to me. I can't tell you what that does to me. And this is going to help people. Assumption. Dr. Webb said, this is the last time I'm here. Dr. Webb said this. He said, assumption is the lowest form of praise. Caleb knows that I know that he loves me. I know he loves me. But we assume so many times God knows. So we don't say anything. We don't worship him. We don't praise him. That is such a low form of communication.
Yeah, that's right.
Think about doing that in a marriage. Think about doing that with your kids. Well, they know. They already know I love them, so I'm not going to tell them. That's what people do with God. He knows. He likes to hear.
Yeah.
He likes to hear. It causes him to show up. Just like you like to hear it. I love hearing it. I love hearing it. And Caleb knows that I love him. But I tell him all the time. I tell him all the time, buddy, I love you. Just on the way to church this morning, I had a phone call. And he's so good, he knows when Daddy gets on the phone, he doesn't say a word. He's quiet. He don't say anything. Because that's important stuff. And he sits there and doesn't say a word the whole time. I hung up the phone. I look back and buddy, I can't tell you how. You're just so good. You're such a good listener. Thank you. Every day, hearing those fat little cheeks. This is a new thing he says out when he comes. Aw, thanks. this is what I'm going to show you. Let's go back to James chapter 1. We'll finish up here. Counting it joy. Counting it joy. Having a different attitude. You ought to not act like the world acts when you go through things. You ought to be a billboard for victory. You ought to be a billboard for happiness. When things are crumbling around you, you're full of joy and happiness. Showing people there's a better way. And so you might not know something. It says this in verse 2. My brother encountered all joy when he fallen into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this. Now you might not be able to do verse 2 if you don't know this. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh, or that word worketh means, produces patience. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. They say, okay, so the Lord tell me when I go through something, count it joy because it's causing patience to be produced in my life. Why does that make me happy? Why would that make me joyful? Because God never promised you in His Word that His promises would come to you overnight. In fact, He told you the exact opposite and said that be not followers of them, Hebrews 6:12, who through faith and be not followers of them who are slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. Didn't say you'll have them when you pray.
Right.
You'll receive them in the spiritual realm, but the natural realm doesn't come all automatically. What does it say in Galatians 6 and verse 9? It says, if you faint not, you'll reap.
Yeah.
If you don't quit, which is telling me there's going to be plenty of opportunity from the time you release your faith until the thing manifests for you to give up and quit.
That's right. Yeah.
And so the Bible says that when you go through a test or trial, you can count it joy because it's producing something in you. Patience is being brought out in you because that same patience that's being brought out in you in that test, when you face a greater test, which there's greater glory, greater blessing, greater increase on the other side of that test, that patience that's being produced is for that test over here that's going to lead you into more down the road. And so now, when you have your mindset in the right place, you'll be excited when tests and trials show up because you'll say, wow, there's something big for me. God's trying to get something big in my life. You see, if you want to go on to the fourth grade, you've got to pass the third grade.
That's good.
You see, a senior can be entrusted with a lot more than a first grader can.
Yeah.
But the senior had to go through all the steps to become that. There's things that are down the road in your future that God's trying to move you into.
Yeah.
Greater responsibility, greater finances, greater realm of influence. But He can't get you there until you're first entrusted here, passing this test, producing the patience.
Yeah.
You get to second grade, and you pass second grade, you go to third grade.
Yeah,
now you can say, I don't want to be a senior. I don't want to get into hiding things of God, and that's a selfish thing to say.
Because
people depend on each other.
Yeah.
You might say, I don't want it for myself, but want it for somebody else. Want it for somebody else.
Yeah.
If anything, want it for them. Be a blessing for them. Want to grow for them. Want to grow for your future kids or your kids or somebody else's kids that you're going to minister to. Somebody else that maybe is on their way to hell.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be getting a greater realm of influence. Now you're going to have a greater voice. God's going to trust you with more finances because you were faithful. You were faithful with the rust bucket of a car you had, so God could bless you with a nicer one. You still cleaned that rust bucket out. You still washed the windows in that day. You still vacuumed that thing up because every time you did it, you said, Lord, I thank you. I'm showing you I can be faithful in that which is least. You're going to give me more. You can be faithful when you only make $10 a week to bring $1 into God's sake. I will not rob you, Father, so that way He can trust you that if He gives you $1,000 a week, you're going to bring Him $100. If He brings you $10,000 a week, you're going to bring Him
$1,000.
That's how it works. But so many people are so unfaithful in the little things. In the tests, they don't understand. They're tests. They're tests. Those are the kind of tests God sends you. He doesn't send you sickness tests. But this works for sickness tests. That endurance, that patience you're going through in sickness, will bring out a patient somewhere down the road that you're going to need. Same with the financial test. That's not how God does things. God tests you in the obedience of His Word. Can you be faithful to walk in love? Can you be faithful to be a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, a man of character? Those things. And so many people never walk into what God has for them because they can't be faithful in the small things.
Yeah, that's good.
People say, oh, I would love giving $10 million. Are you ready to write a $1 million check to your church?
Yeah.
Are you ready to release it and do so? Oh, yeah, I do that. Why? You won't do the $50 check.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I know money sorry. That was good. I liked it. Praise the Lord. It's true, though.
Yeah.
Passing the test. And you can count it joy. See, when you have a mindset that the Bible says not only has no temptation or test overtaking you such as common to man, but also God will provide a way for you to escape it. When you understand that no matter what's thrown at you, it can't take you out if you're in faith,
yeah.
And you're not, then it takes the worry away about failing. It takes the worry away about your business class, about your house being foreclosed on, about your car being taken away, about this and about that. When you realize, I can't fail as a Christian if I act in faith, then you can get into joy.
Yeah.
You can get into joy and say, something's being produced in me down the road that I'm going to need.
Amen.
It's
that's
true.
Good.
God wants to get you into more. Start counting your joy. I told you Galatians 6:9 said, don't quit. Let us not become weary yet, he says, in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I can't stress to you enough, the devil is skillful in what he does.
Sure.
I'm so thankful for ministers like Brother Hagin and Dr. And my pastor who have gone into deeper things of God than I have, and there are at stages and we're at levels that I have not got to. And I strive to get there. If I don't, I'm going to run my race and do my best. But I've noticed this: when they walk into things that are higher in God, all hell breaks loose in their life, in their personal life. Just the devil's fight, because the devil's trying to get you to back off of God.
Right.
And I can't tell you enough. You want your business to go to the next level, you want relationships to go to the next level, you want your personal life. And when God's trying to bring you next level, get ready for all hell to break loose. That's the time you stand your ground,
yeah.
You get into joy, and you stay faithful, and you don't back down off that thing.
Amen.
You don't back down off that thing.
Amen.
Just understand and recognize,
yeah,
that the blessing that I'm going to be enjoying is always going to be in the presence of my enemies.
Yeah.
I prepare a table before you in the presence of all Christians who believe like you, who everything's good and everything's sweet, and there's no pressure around you. No, there's always going to be pressure. It's like, man, we get into this building, you know, and you get off away from that other building over there, and you get into this building, and you think it's just going to be just all easy, and like a million more things now come up with being in a new building, and a million more pressures. See, if you can't learn to enjoy it, as long as you're in this earth suit,
yeah,
you're always going to have tests and trials.
Yeah.
You know, if they were saying, well, when everything, all my ducks are in a row, get ready, your ducks will never all be in a row, because those are kicking them out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're always kicking.
Right.
You're trying to pull,
yeah,
them back home. Just be joyful with some things out of order here and there, and pressure here and pressure there.
Yeah.
Just be in joy.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you're the winner.
Yeah.
You're victorious.
Yeah.
And if you'll do this, you'll activate the power of God. Think about the faith. Think about the faith it takes.
Yeah.
And how it stirred God up.
Yeah.
I remember almost dying of that appendix thing. And when I could finally get out of bed, and they told me not to, and I turned my little bed alarm off for you. I don't even know if you show me a point of how to do that, but it's what I did. So right out of bed. It didn't go off for some reason. Maybe this wouldn't work or I didn't plug the whole thing. I don't know. You'd think that it would go off. Maybe they did something wrong, but it didn't go off. I did something. And I got out of bed. And I'll tell you what, I was sicker than sick could be. Infection is all over my body. 3 days with a ruptured appendix. Should have been dead. People died for hours of those things. And I was so sick and so much in pain. So much so that another surgery happened that I had another problem when I was in there that was actually more painful than the appendix thing. And I got out of that bed, and I walked my little cart thing around that room. And I said, I would struggle just to take a step. And in that dark, that room in the middle of the night, I said, Father, I thank you. You're my healer.
Right.
You're my healer. What was I doing? I was stirring heaven.
Yeah.
Stirring heaven.
Yeah.
And I would just pray to him. I'd say, they say I'm not going to be normal for a year. I said, I'm going to be fine. Short run. Supernatural recovery. I thank you, the power of God's coming. Now, that's real life stuff.
Yeah.
That really happened.
Yeah.
It really happened when we couldn't pay our bills or our poverty, and I'm rejoicing to God for the increase. That really happened.
Yeah.
It isn't just blowing smoke at you.
Right.
What was I doing? Stirring heaven up?
Yeah.
Getting God excited about me?
Yeah.
Causing him to stop on my situation? The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole world looking for one person that he can find that will trust him. I tell you, you're in competition with me. Of what? Getting God's stop on your situation. So I'm going to make sure his eyes are always locked on you.
Good.
Amen.
Okay, God, if you do more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
We're in competition. Yeah. Good. His attention.
It's good.
Your, yeah, attention.
Praise God.
And what was I doing? I was stirring it up.
Yeah.
And I was completely fine after weeks. After,
yeah,
weeks. They said it wouldn't be a year because of just the infections and things that happened. It wasn't true. I was strong. Felt good. It wasn't overnight.
Right.
And I rejoiced the whole way through. Thank you, Father.
Right.
I think I complained a little bit at first, and I'll blame that on the drugs. I said some goofy thing, and Alex, I think she saved some of the text messages I sent them when I was under the influence. Don't ask her to read them. If she's not to read, I have a story for her. She don't want me to tell this story. Alex, I'm going to tell him. And I just worshiped God the whole way. I remember coming out of that thing, you know, the first time I thought about my insurance and they pulled $1,000 and I started, first thing I said was, what are we going to do? And she basically told me, shut up. I'm not going to pay a penny of this. Just don't talk right now. Stop creating with your drug-induced mind an outcome that we don't want to see happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Be thankful for people around you that tell you, shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Don't be upset with those people that tell you, you're not in faith. Stop it. You're not in faith. Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop acting that way. Stop believing that way. I'll tell you, the next person, just get ready, here's a warning. The next person that comes up to me and tells me that the devil's after, you're in for something.
Oh, wow.
You're in for something. You want to know why? Because you shouldn't be magnifying that the devil's after you. I should say, well, big deal.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do about it? He's defeated and small. Do something about him.
Yeah.
I'll do other loving you.
Right.
Just get ready. I know someone's going to say to you, bring it on. But let's be honest. That's what people do. They magnify the devil. They and I'll tell you what. This new boldness thingy, it's really kind of shaking me for a little bit. Because I said something in service last night, I couldn't even believe I said it. And the Holy Ghost said to me, don't you dare.
Right.
What I said was exactly right, but it's kind of throwing me off, throwing my mind off a little bit. But I'll tell you what. Don't not talk faith now anymore. Because
yeah.
I love you enough, I want to say, listen, you're going to have exactly what you're saying.
Because
I'm trying to build you up into something better and stronger.
Amen.
Yeah. Knowing this. So in those situations, count it joy. Don't stop praising. Don't stop praising. Don't stop your confession. You believe in what you're believing God to turn out. Amen. Let's count it all joy. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. So thankful for you and for all these precious people. Lord, we're excited about where we're going in this walk with you. Father, there's business owners here. There's people that, you know, professionals have careers. There's people that are uncertain about their future. But Father, we know for every single one of us, in everything that we put our hand to, it's only blessing ahead for us. It's only more for us. It's only increase that awaits us. And Father, we need to know right now. We need to know right now that what's ahead of us, and that what's before us is wonderful and it's great, but it's not going to come without opposition. So when the tests come, when the trials come, when hell breaks loose in our life, even when we're doing everything right, Father God, we're not going to be swayed. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to fret. We're going to stand our ground and be the overcomers that you've enabled us to be. And we're going to count it joy. Knowing this, Father, patience is being produced for the next thing. It's going to bring us even higher. We thank you for the word, Father. That helps us when we go through tests and trials. That helps us, Father God. So we renew our minds to that word this morning. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for dying and going to that cross. Father, there was no Roman soldier that had the power to do it. Pontius Pilate's not the one that put you on the cross. You said that you lay your life down. Now, there were people that were tools, and there were people that were used. But ultimately, Jesus, you did it because you loved it. You sacrificed your life. You laid your life down. You're so thankful for that. I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. Please don't be looking around. Jesus went to the cross willingly, died on the cross for you so that you could have heaven, so that you could receive him and be forgiven of all your sins and live in eternity with him. Hallelujah. 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 Now, get your thought. Mm-hmm. 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 I'll get to that this way. And, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, what would I have? Ask yourself. If the answer is no 100% yes, if the answer is no 100% yes, then that means you need Jesus. Because God said you can have heaven. anybody want to see Jesus for the first time? I'd rather see in hands. I don't know if someone's shy or somebody listening to my live stream and receive you. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice, however that is, and here, archived or right now live on the internet, and you want to see Jesus, just cry out to him. Just tell him to believe that he died and rose again. And ask him to come into your life. And then get a hold of us and we'll get you started in your walk with God. Now heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord interrupted me. In that salvation call, in the way that I don't think I've ever been interrupted, and I'm just gonna speak this forward. There's somebody in here right now, I know it pertains to one person, I don't know who the person is, that you're not bringing your tithe anywhere. You're not paying a tithe to anything. And it's absolutely hindering you, but it's not just hindering you financially, it's hindering you in every way. The Spirit of God told me to make sure that I say this morning. Because when I was having that little talk with God, I was thinking, well, I'll just keep that to myself. And he said, no, do it at the salvation call. There's someone in here, you're not tithing. I don't know if you go to this church, don't go to this church first time. I don't know who the person is. But you're not tithing at all. And you're expecting the blessings to come to you. And you have to understand the tithe is so much more than a financial blessing. It'll keep you in the will of God. It'll keep you protected. It'll keep you with health. So many stories we've heard of people being spared. And the Holy Ghost said to him, that happened because you were a tither. So I'm just here to report what the Holy Ghost said to me. Now, I would ask, if he was talking about you, I would like to know about it, not because I want to be nosy, but it will help me in ministry and also help you and encourage you. But whoever that is, I encourage you, start tithing. Start tithing. There's a blessing waiting for you. Let the Holy Ghost stop me in the middle of a service. Whenever God does something like that, or the Holy Ghost speaks to me, and drop something in, I know it's first because it's a serious situation. It's a serious matter. I don't know what that means. I'm not trying to get anybody into fear. We're never trying to manipulate money out of your pocket. I'm not even telling you you have to tithe here. Now, if this is your church, of course you tithe here. And then if you tithe here, you go to church. But I don't know what that's for or what that's to spare somebody for, but stop robbing God immediately. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for that safety. We thank you for that help. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And if you're wondering what all that's about, that's called a gift of the Spirit. It's called the word of knowledge. It's where God drops a thing in my spirit that I didn't know otherwise. It supernaturally dropped a word of knowledge. And the Bible says gifts of the Spirit are meant for people to profit. It's not meant to condemn people. It's not meant to hurt people. That's meant to bring people up.
Amen.
So just be a doer of that word. We love you. Have an awesome rest of the week. Weekend, and you're dismissed. We'll see you next week.
Love the Lord. Come sing the song of the forgiven. Come lay your burden on the word. Come and find peace. Everyone needs a little rest. Everyone needs a little joy and a song to sing in the darkest night. And life, even when it gets you down, hope will turn it all. Everyone needs a little. He will lift you up. sound. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what he has done for us. Tell the world of his great love. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. Let God arise. Let God arise. The church will stand, she will endure. He holds the keys of life, our Lord. Death has no sting, no final word. Our God is God who saves. Our God is the God who saves.
Right now is blessing time. it'll turn out fine. We're in the best of times. We're bringing in the harvest. We're reaping a hundredfold. Because we're following the Spirit. We're doing just what we're told. Yeah. The Lord has said to me, right now is blessing time. This I will decree, even in the times of famine, when everything looks lean, it'll turn out fine. We're in the best of times. We're bringing in the harvest, we're reaping a hundredfold, because we're following the Spirit. We're doing just what we're told. We're in the best of times. It's what the Lord has said to me. Right now is blessing time. This I will decree. Even in the times of famine, when everything looks lean, it'll turn out fine. We're in the best of times. Even in the times of famine, everything looks lean, it'll turn out fine. We're in the best of times. You're my help. I don't need to look anywhere else. 'Cause it doesn't matter what others might say. My heart settled, I will not be moved away. You're my answer. You're my help. I don't need to look anywhere else. 'Cause it doesn't matter what others might say. My heart settled, I will not be moved away. If doubts arise, and you know they will, if you get tempted to change even a little, remember that Jesus world will never change. And if you stay with what he said, it'll be that way. You're my answer. You're my help. I don't need to look anywhere else. 'Cause it doesn't matter what others might say. My heart settled, I will not be moved away. Enemy will try to get you out of faith. Look at the problem, how bad it is, he'll say. But I am focusing only on one thing. What God has said about me is the only thing I'll say. You're my answer. You're my help. I don't need to look anywhere else. It doesn't matter what others might say. My heart settled, I will not be moved away. Doesn't matter what others might say. my heart settled, I will not be moved away. Yes, you're my answer, you're my help. I don't need to look anywhere else. It doesn't matter what others might say. My heart settled, I will not be moved away. It doesn't matter what others might say, 'cause my heart's settled, I will not be moved. Going to the other side with you.
You're my answer.
I know your word is true, so I won't doubt, I will trust
you're
in you.
My answer.
My answer, my help, not looking anywhere else. I'm settled, I'm not moved away.
There's a Your praise. Chases after me.
Because of your love, I will sing. You're my king, I will sing. Joyfully, I lift my voice in praise to thee. With heaven.